Morning, everyone. I'm super excited about this morning. Super excited. Like, God's going to do something this morning. Like, maybe you're not like thinking this, you might not be thinking this, but if you're thinking that like you're just, God's not going to speak to you or meet with you this morning, then I hate to tell you this, but you're definitely wrong. Because, yeah, let's just, right, so we're going through the Kingdom of God series, and we've come to the point now where we've looked at many things about the Kingdom of God, but I'm so excited at the part we're in now because it's the sharp end in the sense that we're talking about how someone enters the Kingdom. But you can't really get more important than that, can you? How someone enters the Kingdom of God. Now, you can talk about the Kingdom as much as you want, but the sharp end of it is, how do I get into the Kingdom? How does anyone get into the Kingdom? And to me, that's the most important part. It's like hearing about something that grabs your attention, a beautiful place, a beautiful community with a beautiful king, but then someone saying, but I don't know the way. That would be gutting, wouldn't it? To be told about this beautiful place, this beautiful king, this beautiful community, this beautiful future, but not knowing the way. So let's just read two parts of scripture together. Let's read the first, which is in Luke chapter 13, verses 22 to 30. So I'm just going to pray quick before we open the scripture. So feel free to turn to Luke chapter 13 and I'm just going to pray for us. Lord, I know there's going to be many distractions here this morning seeking to take our attention away from what is going to be said to us this morning. But I pray you just remove those distractions, that we would not cloud the simplicity of what you're about to say to us, but that we would just take it on board. And I pray, Lord, that people would be brought into your kingdom this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So Luke chapter 13, let's start reading at verse 22. The narrow door. He, that's Jesus, went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. And someone said to him, Lord, will those who are saved be few? Let me ask you a question first of all. Why do you think they said that to Jesus? Lord, will those who are saved be few? Probably wouldn't have asked that unless not many people were following. Yeah? Lord, will those who are saved be few? And Jesus said to them, strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, open to us, then he will answer you, I do not know where you come from. And then you will begin to say, well, we ate and drank in your presence and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves cast out. And people will come from east and west and from north and south, and recline at table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. And then the next part I want us to read is in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. But I really think it's important to read the sections around the section that we're focusing on because it gives us context. So let's read Matthew chapter 7 and we'll start reading in verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching. Now, I think you're astonished at his teaching as well. For he was teaching them as one who had authority, and not as their scribes, not as their false teachers. Jesus is the real deal. There are many things in the scriptures and many things that Jesus said that are hard to understand. Amen? These are not those. These are not those. You get what Jesus just said. These parts are so challenging because of their clarity. And we see a series of twos, a series of one or the other, in many ways, black and white, opposites. Listen, seek, find, knock, open, ask, receive, narrow gate, broad gate, narrow path, broad path, destruction, life, easy way, hard way, many, few, false teachers, true teachers, good trees, bad trees, good fruit, bad fruit. A foolish man, a wise man. Rock, sand. Hearing Jesus' words, doing Jesus' words. The things that we're looking at this morning are very clear. And the part that we're focusing on are the two gates. Narrow gate, broad gate. Now I want to start with this glorious thought. And it's a simple yet amazing thought. And it's this. There is a gate to the kingdom. There doesn't have to be a gate to the kingdom. God didn't have to put an entrance to the kingdom. We've all gone our own way, away from God, dismissed him. He didn't have to make an entrance to the kingdom. But listen, he has. Surely that's got to be the first glorious thing this morning, that there is an entrance to the kingdom. Because there doesn't have to be. But that's who God is, that even though we've gone our own way, he's still made an entrance to the kingdom. There's still a way into his kingdom. So we need to rejoice again this morning that there is a gate into the kingdom. So let's look at a few things about this gate to the kingdom. First of all, let's remind ourselves of where the gate leads to. Now it's obvious, I know, but the gate leads to the kingdom of heaven. As Jesus said, it leads to life. Now, I want us to do a bit of a thought experiment this morning. I want you to imagine for a second that you're an architect or the designer of a building. Yeah, and you're sat at your office desk on a Monday morning and an email pops into your inbox. And in the from column, it says, God. And so you open the email and it says this. I would like you to design the doorway, the entranceway to my kingdom, the kingdom of God. Don't worry about costs. I should have enough. So you're like, close the email. What are your first thoughts about how you would design the entrance to the kingdom of God? The doorway to the kingdom of God. My first thought was big, right? The kingdom of God is so huge, it must need a big door. Also, there must be loads of people going to heaven. So, you know, it needs to be quite wide because loads of people have to get through it. Because loads of people go to heaven, right? Actually, thinking about it, does anyone not go to heaven? Oh, yeah, there's Hitler. He was really bad. And, like, Putin isn't that good. But, like, everyone else basically goes, don't they? That's what people think, by the way. That might even be what you're thinking. Most people go to heaven, right? It's only a few that don't. So I'll make this door big. And I'll make it out of the most expensive things I can find. I want it to be elaborate. I want it to be glorious. And the reason I want it to be glorious is because I want it to be noticeable, right? I don't want anyone to miss the entrance to the kingdom of God. So I'm going to make it as big and glorious and as noticeable as I can. And actually, thinking about it, right, I might design a conveyor belt that takes you to it. So you don't even have to walk there. And as you go through it, you can just marvel at the magnificence of it and be carried into the kingdom. That sounds a good idea. So you put together all the plans and you email God back. And after a while, you get an email back. Thanks for the plans. I had something a bit different in mind. And you're a bit disappointed. But you wonder what the entrance to God's kingdom will be like. So what is it like? First, it's narrow. It's not wide. It's narrow. And the actual word means something akin to compressed. It's like a squeeze to get through it. The picture is that it's not that you just waltz straight in. It's like it's narrow. You've got to kind of squeeze in. Some translations call it a wicket gate. A wicket gate. Now, you know, like boys, you like cricket. The wickets are narrow, right? They're narrow. It's kind of like a turnstile at a football ground. You know, where only one person could get in at a time. And you need to have like a ticket to get in and that. And you like squeeze through the turnstiles, don't you? And if more than one tries to get through, it just doesn't work. Or it's a little bit like a kissing gate. Because I do lots of running on trails in the middle of nowhere. And every now and again, I'll come across a kissing gate. And if I'm running with someone, we can't both go through at the same time. You know what I mean, don't you? You need to open it, step inside, go round, and then close it again. It's a narrow gate, or like a stile in the middle of a field. The entrance to the kingdom of God is not broad, it's narrow. So it's worth noting at this point that there is another gate, and it's a broad gate, it's a wide gate. But that wide gate doesn't lead to the kingdom, it leads to destruction, Jesus said. So the entrance to the kingdom isn't the big wide one that everyone's taking. It's a narrow one. But secondly, I want us to know this, and again, it's really simple. It's a gate. It's a door. It's not a fence that must be scaled. It's not a wall that must be climbed. It's a gate that must be opened. You have to open a gate, right? You have to open a door. It has to be entered through. A gate or a door, it separates one space from another. Listen, you can sit on a fence, but it's hard to sit on a door. You're either in or out. Now, I know the pedantic ones are. There's a moment where you're passing through. Yeah, there is. But you're one side or the other. It's not like the hokey-cokey. One foot in, one foot out, shake it all about. It's, a door is you go from this space to this space by opening the door and going through. So the entrance to the kingdom is a narrow gate. But what I also want us to notice is the amount of people who find the narrow door. How many people find the narrow door according to Jesus? You don't have to be scared repeating Jesus' words. He's Jesus.
Few.
Jesus said there's few people who find the narrow door. How many do you think of when you think few? It's meant to be three, isn't it? But whatever it is, it's not many. Few. Listen. The very fact that only few people find the narrow gate says to me that the narrow gate is hard to find. It's not the Arc de Triomphe. Someone in Paris might be like, I'm really struggling to find the Arc de Triomphe. You'll be like, are you mad or what? It's like that massive concrete thing up there. Because it's big and it's broad and it's elaborate and it's easy to see. Listen, the entrance to the kingdom of God is not like that. It's hard to find. And the reason I know it's hard to find is because Jesus said few people find it. And another reason is because it's narrow. So, this is completely contrary to what's taught commonly in the world. That everyone's going to heaven, that there's a broad way that leads there, there's many different gates to get there. As long as you're sincere in your heart, you'll get there. And Jesus says, no. There's one entrance to heaven, not many. It's narrow and it's hard to find. So then he talks about these false teachers and he says, beware of these false teachers. And in the context of that, it's anyone who's telling you that there's not a narrow door to heaven. Yeah? If anyone ever stands up here and tells you that there's a broad way to heaven, they're a false teacher. The way is narrow. These people hadn't entered through the narrow gate. So listen, what does it say about them? It says, they say some mad stuff as well. They say, we prophesied in your name. They say, we cast out demons in your name. Have you ever cast out a demon? I haven't. But these people had cast out demons in Jesus' name. And he says to them, depart from me because I never knew you. That's mad, like. It means you can do stuff. But if you don't know Jesus, then you haven't gone through the narrow gate. You know if you know Jesus. You know if you know someone. If you don't know him, you haven't gone through the narrow gate. Because Jesus said, depart from me, I don't know you. And then after he's talked about these false teachers who he doesn't know and who haven't gone through the narrow gate, then he talks about a wise man and a foolish man, doesn't he? The wise man is the one who hears Jesus' words and does them. That was the wise man, the one who heard Jesus' words and did them. The foolish man was the one who heard Jesus' words and didn't do them. Now, what are Jesus' words to us this morning? And it's really, really simple. Lord, please don't let anyone like confuse this. These are Jesus' words to us this morning. Enter through the narrow gate. I'll say it again, okay, just in case you missed it. These are Jesus' words to us this morning. Enter through the narrow gate. So let me ask you a question. What would a foolish person look like? Someone who didn't enter through the narrow gate. I'm trying to make this as easy as I can. Okay? What would a wise person look like? Someone who enters through the narrow gate. Now, this might seem really simple, okay? But we overcomplicate it. Loads of people look at the gate. What a wonderful gate that is. It must lead to a wonderful place. They know a lot about the gate. They've been going to gate classes for years. You might have been going to church for years. That's my point. Gate classes. But they've never entered through the gate. They know everything about the gate. They know where the gate leads. They could tell you many things about how the gate works, but they haven't gone through the gate. They're like the people who say, Lord, Lord, did we not do this? Did we not do that? Blah, blah, blah. I never knew you. You never come through the gate. You did everything except enter through the narrow gate. So what happens in the story about the two people, the wise and foolish builder? A great storm comes. And a great flood comes, and one house stands and the other falls. Now what Jesus is talking about here is end judgment times. And this is another thing that I want us to see about the narrow gate. It can only be entered through for a time and then it's going to be shut. It's going to be locked. When the storm comes, when the final judgment of God comes, the door is shut, the narrow gate is shut and you can't get in it anymore. Right, the time to enter the narrow gate is now. Because you don't know when the end is coming. I don't. That's what Jesus said. No one knows except the Father. So the time to go through the narrow gate is now. Right? Because there's going to be a time when it's shut and you can't get in. That's what it says when he was talking in Luke, isn't it? On that day, when he's talking about the narrow gate in Luke. You know, there's going to be people in that day who are trying to enter in, and they can't anymore because the door's shut, the narrow gate's shut. But listen very carefully to me. The narrow gate's not shut right now. Like, the narrow gate isn't shut right now. You can enter it. And as I was looking at this, it all reminded me of the story of Noah. Right? It all reminded me of that. Noah preached, and he warned the people that there was going to be a great flood to come, and he made a boat, and he preached to everyone that there's a great storm that's coming, but listen, there's a way that you can be saved from it. There's a way that you can be saved from that storm, and it's through the door of this boat I've built. It's through the door. And all you got to do is enter the door of this boat, and you'll be saved from the wrath to come. And he said, there's no other way. Right? There's no other way except through the door to this boat. But if you enter, you'll be safe. And people mocked. Ah, there's not going to be a flood. There's not going to be a flood. And people mock today. There's not going to be any judgment. Judgment. How narrow-minded. How politically incorrect. Judgment. There's not even a God. I'm going to be judged. And even if I am going to be judged, I'm going to be good enough. It's like the people in Noah are like, oh, even if there is a flood, I've got my little boat I made. I'll be safe on that. The flood came. And listen, everything that wasn't on the ark was destroyed. Everything that wasn't on the ark was destroyed. But everyone who entered through that door was saved. And do you know how many entered through that door? Few. It seems like just Noah and his family. Few were saved. The door was available to all, but few found it. And the Bible says that as in the days of Noah, so will be the last days. When you'll speak about a judgment to come, you'll speak about a narrow door, and few will find it. There is a door to heaven. There is a door to heaven. But it's narrow, it's hard to find, and you have to enter it to be safe from God's final righteous judgment. Now, I pray and hope right now that there's some of you in here who are screaming inside, show me this gate and how to enter it. Praise God if that's you right now. Praise God if inside you're like, show me this gate right now, James, and how to enter it. Some of you might be like a little bit angry that there's only one gate. That's a bit narrow-minded. And there might be other people in here who don't even care about what I'm saying right now. I fear for you because I fear that you might not find the gate. Because the gate is only found by those who are seeking it. But if God has graciously awakened your attention this morning and you want to find the narrow gate and you want to enter it, then you are ready to hear this now, what I'm about to tell you. Turn to John chapter 10. Turn to John chapter 10 and fix your eyes on verse 9. Can someone read out to me John chapter 10, verse 9?
I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He will go in and out and find pasture.
Jesus is the door. Jesus is the narrow gate. Why is the gate narrow? Because Jesus is the only way to enter the kingdom. The king of the kingdom is the gate to the kingdom. One person, a narrow gate. How wide is the narrow gate? It's one person wide. Because it's Jesus. It's one person wide. How do you enter? So that's the answer to the first question. Like, you ask the question, where is the gate? But the answer isn't where is the gate, it's who is the gate. The gate's Jesus. Now the second question is, well, how do I enter? How do I enter the narrow gate? Faith. It's like the wise and foolish builders, isn't it? Who was the wise person? The one who heard Jesus' words and did them. Faith. Who is the gate? Jesus. How do you enter through the gate? Faith. You mean I don't have to, like, bring anything or do anything or... No. Jesus said, believe in me. Believe in me. You don't marvel at Jesus from a distance. You don't even marvel at only what Jesus has done, though it is marvelous. You have to come to him. You have to come to him, the person Jesus Christ. You can know, like, what he did for you on the cross. And nearly everyone in here knows what he did for them on the cross, that he died for them on the cross. They know the plan of salvation. They can reel it off, but they haven't actually come to him. Like, the way to heaven isn't in believing the plan. It's trusting the person. I'm praying right now that God is, like, just taking these layers off. Like, it's to trust in a person, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, come to me, all you are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to who? Come to me. The gate. Come to the gate. Like, stop admiring the gate from far off. Stop trying to figure out how the gate works. Just come to the gate. And trust Jesus. The gate's only one person wide. You can't bring anyone else. You can't bring anyone else, and no one else can bring you. Yeah? Your parents can't bring you in because it's one person wide. You can't bring anyone else in. I wish I could. I wish I could just grab everyone in the whole world and take them in. I can't. It's one person wide. You have to approach yourself. Yeah? And you come to Jesus. Just yourself. To enter the narrow gate. You can't get in on someone else's ticket. And then to enter the narrow gate, you come to Jesus and you forsake all the other ways that you thought would get you in. You forsake all of the other ones. And, like, if you come to the narrow gate, you have to have forsaken all the other ways. Because you're at the narrow gate. You're like, well, I'm coming to the narrow gate and I believe that's the only way in. Yeah, so you've forsaken all other ways. You've come to the narrow gate. You're saying that all other gates are the wrong way. And you're turning from anything else that is not Jesus. And you're coming to Jesus alone. And listen, he will never, ever, ever turn anyone away who comes to him. Never. Amen. You come to him and he'll never turn you away. While the door is still open. You come to him. And Pete talked last week, didn't he, about repentance, turning away from your sin. And this week, we're looking at who you turn to. You turn away from your sin and you turn to Jesus. See, repentance and faith are two sides of the same coin. Faith is coming to Jesus and trusting him. But to do that, you have to turn away from trusting anything that isn't Jesus. Yeah? You turn away from anything that isn't Jesus and you turn to Jesus. Is sin Jesus? No, so I'm turning away from sin. Because sin isn't Jesus. Is Buddha Jesus? No. Is Muhammad Jesus? No. Is anyone else Jesus except Jesus? No, so I'm turning away from everything and I'm following Jesus. There's that song in there. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The gate's narrow. It's not big enough for you to carry anything in. Listen, I had this mad picture this morning that some people think it's like going to the airport, going to another country, going to the kingdom of heaven. And you've seen the mad people who've got like a million bags in it to go on, and they put them on the conveyor belt. And then they're going to be waiting for them when they get to wherever they're going. I think some people think like the kingdom of heaven's going to be like that. You rock up to the gate and you can put all your stuff on the conveyor belt and then it'll be there when you get to heaven. Nah. Like, it's a narrow gate and you can't take any luggage in. You can't take anything in because it's only big enough for one person. Like, you can't take anything in. And that means you can't take your sin in as well. It's not like getting on that plane. You leave everything behind. That's why Jesus said, isn't it? Unless you forsake family, country, like, unless you love me more than your mom, your dad, your sister, your brother, you can't enter. Because basically, you're saying, I'm leaving everything behind and I'm going through that narrow gate. There's a funny illustration, isn't there, where the rich man brings his bags of gold bars to the gate. And it's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven than a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And he brings these bags and he gets to the gate and the angel's like, sorry, you can't take any bags in. It's only wide enough for just you, empty-handed, trusting in Christ alone. Empty-handed. I love that, don't you? You don't have to bring anything except yourself. But it's humbling as well, isn't it? Because you think you need to bring something, but you don't. So he brings these bags, and the angel's like, what's in there, bud? And he's like, oh, it's my gold bars. And the angel opens it up, and he's like, you want to bring pavement? The most valuable thing in the world here is pavement in heaven. Like, you could have all the riches in the world and buy one slab of pavement in heaven. And you want to take that with you? Mad. Nothing you can gain in this world comes near to the beauty of gaining Jesus and being known by him. That's such a glorious thought, isn't it? So this morning, I urge you to come to Jesus. I urge you to trust in him alone as the one by which you must enter the kingdom. I want to urge you to forsake all other ways. I want to urge you to stop admiring him from afar and come to him yourself today and trust in him. Charles Spurgeon, a famous preacher, once wrote this a book called Around the Wicket Gate. And he was writing it to people who were like standing around the wicket gate, but they hadn't gone through the wicket gate. And he says this in that book. He says, to many, faith seems a hard thing. The truth is, it's only hard because it's easy. You're going to have to think about that for a bit. I had to. He's not saying it's not hard. But he's saying the reason it's hard is because it's so easy. And then he tells the story about one of the ladies in his congregation. And I really hope this sinks in, okay? So he writes this. And then we'll finish. This little incident about the two sisters reminds me of another. So I'm kind of jumping in halfway. A much esteemed friend came to me one Sabbath morning after service to shake hands with me. For, she said, I was 50 years old on the same day as yourself. I am like you in that one thing, sir, but I am the very reverse of you in better things. So I remarked, well, then you must be a very good woman, for in many things I wish I also could be the reverse of what I am. No, no, she said, I didn't mean anything like that. What I mean is that I'm not right at all. What? I cried. Are you not a believer in the Lord Jesus? Well, she said, with much emotion, I will try to be. I laid hold of her hand and said, my dear soul, you're not going to tell me that you will try to believe my Lord Jesus. I can't have such talk from you. It means blank unbelief. What has he done that you should talk of him in that way? Would you tell me that you would try to believe me? I know that you would not treat me so rudely. You think me a true man, and so you believe me at once. And surely you cannot do less with my Lord Jesus. Then with tears she exclaimed, oh, sir, do pray for me. To this I replied, I do not feel that I can do anything of the kind. What can I ask the Lord Jesus to do for one who will not trust him? I see nothing to pray about. If you will believe him, you shall be saved. And if you will not believe him, I cannot ask him to invent a new way to gratify your unbelief. Then she said again, I will try to believe. But I told her solemnly, I would have none of her trying, for the message from the Lord did not mention trying, but said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. I pressed upon her the great truth that he that believes on him has everlasting life, and its terrible reverse. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I urged her to full faith in the once crucified but now ascended Lord. And the Holy Spirit there and then enabled her to trust. And she most tenderly said, oh, sir, I've been looking to my feelings. And this has been my mistake. Now I trust my soul with Jesus, and I am saved. How great is that? I'm not having it if anyone says I'm trying to believe. There's no trying in the gospel. You believe him. You believe him. And then you're saved. Faith is trusting wholly on the person, work, merit and power of the Son of God. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except me. And this morning, it really is as simple as whether you believe him or not. And if you believe him this morning, then you have entered through the narrow gate and onto the narrow path that leads to eternal life. Let's pray. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Lord, I'm so thankful that you haven't like made the way to heaven my efforts, my anything to do with me. But you've made it, Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that you've said that anyone who comes to you, you will not cast away. I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here who's on the broad path or seeking other paths, that they come to the narrow gate, the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that like if any of us have overcomplicated faith and mistaken it for feelings, that even that just story at the end would open our eyes again, that it's trusting in you. It's trusting in what you've done, not what we can do. So yeah, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that you have made a gate to the kingdom. We thank you that you haven't made it inaccessible to us. And I pray, Lord, like as in the days of Noah, that you'd just tarry a bit longer so that more people can come in. And the people who come in through that narrow gate. Bless everyone here this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.